Father, what a picture of the fact that you are in control. You are the only God, our only Savior. And Lord, I pray that you will anoint Ernie's lips this morning as he comes and breaks this word apart to each one of us. Lord, I pray that you will give us ears that will hear. I pray that we will have hearts that will do what you want us to do. Thank you for your word. We know it's true. And I just pray that you will do mighty things this morning, even maybe that we hadn't planned on, to remind us that you are indeed Lord of all. In Jesus' name.
I'm up here today to let you know this is what Pastor Les is going to look like next year. He's going to run out of Miss Clairol, and he's going to all the other stuff, and so he's going to look pretty bad. So he needs your prayers. It's good to be here today. As we read this, and I, we all have different views of the same scripture, and when I don't mean changing it theologically or any. It helps us in different places in our life. Well, today we're going to clear this altar off and going to make room for you to deal with the Lord. You say, I don't know about that. You read this scripture, you listen to it, and you say, I understand a little bit. Well, if you had read two chapters before that, you would understand what's going on. And Elijah, originally, when God used him, he's way up in Tishbeth, and we found out it's the east side, maybe, but nobody really knows because they don't know where it was at. But I always thought it was north, but I guess it's the east. On the east side of Israel. And they're up there, way up there, and God calls a man named Elijah. And he says, I want you to go and tell the king, whoever that, he says, I want you to go tell him that neither dew nor rain will fall on the face of the earth for 3.5 years. Now, he told him once. We want to get this, Brother Ivan, I want you to go do what God has called you to do. Don't delay. Elijah did not stand around or whatever. Yeah, if I told Ivan, I want you to go talk to the President of the United States and tell him this very same message. Who's going to get to first, to the king? Or is Ivan going to make it to the president? You couldn't get to the president if you wanted to today. And the king was the same way. No different. No, absolutely no different in trying to see the president. There was the king. You had to have an appointment. You had to have somebody escort you in. He walked into the palace. He walked up to the king. And everybody looks at, who is this? You know, God, where God wants you to go, he'll open the door. And if he wants you to go see the president, nothing's going to stop you.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
You see, what God calls you to do, he makes a path, a way. It's available to get there. So at any rate, Elijah goes and he tells the king and turns around and leaves. Now that would really tick you off. If, you know, the guy tells you that, no explanation. He knew what he was there for. He knew why he was telling him that. Because of the behavior they were doing. No, nothing going on. He says, I want you to talk to them. Once you tell him, go. I'll take you the way. So he told the king exactly what he had to say. And he turned around and he left. Now they were so dumbfounded by somebody could actually say that to the king. You know, go talk to the president and tell him that he needs to be saved, and you'd be just about as dumbfounded as that. I mean, nobody's going to get near him to tell him that. here is Elijah, and he tells the king, and then he leaves, and God takes him out by a brook and feeds him with the birds, the ravens. He feeds him there for a long time till the brook dries up. And then he took him somewhere else to a widow lady and her son. She fed him. Believe me, this is really in that country, that was downgrading. That was humiliating. And he was there for the remainder of the time of those 3.5 years. And now it's come to back. And he said, it's time. God has said, it's time to go face Ahab. And so he goes. And I love this part. He says, and it came to pass that Ahab saw Elijah. It was no accident. It wasn't an accident at all that he saw Elijah. Elijah was walking down the road. He already told somebody, go tell him. Go tell him I'm coming. He said, and the guy that he told to do this said, are you crazy? He said, we told him you were dead. He said, well, go tell him I'm back to life. Go. You know, he was afraid that he was going to get killed because Elijah was alive. So he told him, and he ran, and now here comes Ahab, here comes Elijah, and they get close enough, one end of this building to the other or whatever, and he yells at him. He said, art thou that has troubled Israel? Are you the one? You, Elijah, are you the one that's troubled Israel all this time? All this suffering that they went through. The crops are dead. The streams are dried up. We have no water. And by the way, you know, I believe that God is a perfect God. And when he said for 3.5 years, and when he came back, he had it all planned out that Israel, all of Israel, would only have 3 days left, supply of water left. Believe that. You see, God doesn't make mistakes. No God. You know, our God is, he planned, he knew what you were going to do tomorrow. You know, he makes no mistakes. He planned this out. And they're going down here, and he says, art thee the one? Are you the one that's troubled Israel? You brought all this destruction against them, all the problems that they have. Are you the one? Now, remember here, Elijah is facing Ahab and 450 prophets of the grove and 400 prophets of Baal. And there's 851 to 1. Now, you may be brave, but let's face it, you're not stupid. If I am facing 850, I don't know that I would be talking quite that manner to them. I mean, they're going to rip your head off. Think about this. 850 to 1. It's like they're standing there before him, and he's saying, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house. Everything in it. And Jezebel, he's like, I didn't trouble Israel, you did. You know something? If you're right, say so. If you're right, say so. Don't be afraid of what's coming. You know, God will protect you. You know something? They could kill me, but they can't eat me. If they do, they're going to be really sick. So I don't care. I really don't care. What is important here is, he says, I want you to eat. Elijah looked at him and he said, I want you to send to Israel. And he says, and gather them all to Mount Carmel. You know, and I often wondered about this. And I'm the kind of person that if I read a story, I draw a picture in my head. Now, I don't know. You know, it helped. When my wife gets me books, if they don't have pictures in them, what's the point, you know? I like the pictures. I don't want to. Yeah, and so when they got me this Bible and God says, well, read this, and I look at it, it doesn't have any pictures. So I have to make up my pictures as I go along. So I make up my pictures, and it's like a huge football stadium. Think about this. Mount Carmel, there, huge football stadium. And in the very midst of this, Elijah. And he says, yeah, gather all Israel to me. So, you know, the football stadium, the land is flat in here, and the sides go, mountain sides go up a little bit, slopes up, and all of Israel sitting around the edge of the mountain. In the middle, 850 on one side, one on the other. Now you're hemmed in a mountain range. You're pinned in. All the people are watching you. You got no place to run. 850 to one. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I like this because it says, and Elijah come to all the people and he said, how long are you going to stand without making a decision? If God is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. Don't just sit there. And you know something? Today, we're saying the exact same thing over and over. You know, if God is God, serve him. Don't sit there. If God is really who you say he is, get up and serve him. Elijah's saying, you know what he heard out of this? Elijah said the exact same thing. Back then he said exactly the same. And you know what he heard? Not a word. You know why he heard not a word? Because they honestly didn't know. Do you honestly know or you honestly don't know who God is? And that was the question at hand. They needed to know who God was, and they didn't know. Do you today know who Jesus Christ is? Do you know? That's a question at hand today. I wonder what we're going to do when we're faced with this very same question. And remember, 850 on one side, Elijah on the other, a big, huge football stadium, and he looks at him and he says, I want you to gather. We're going to have a contest here. He says that you build a big rock foundation here and put rocks on it and put everything on the altar. He says, cut up a bullock. He says, and dress it and put it on the altar. He said, but put no fire under it. Now, why is that? He said, I'm going to do the same over here. You do yours over there, I'll do mine over here. It was probably a little farther apart than that, 50 yard. They were at the 25-yard line. He was on the 25-yard line on the other side. He said, and I built my altar. They built the altar. And they cut the bullock and they put it on there. And he says, put no fire under it. Why? Because God doesn't like strange fire. And he's not going to allow it. You know, God will not allow. You know, he says, don't put any fire under it. I'm not going to put any fire under mine. He says, pray to your God, and I'll pray to my God, the God of Jehovah. He says, I'll pray to him. He says, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God. You know something? Finally, the people had something they could sink their teeth into. Okay. We have the God that answers by fire. Well, that's a good saying. All right, we're going to go with that. The God that answers by fire. You know, he's answered more of our prayers than we can ever imagine, and we still say, put him to the test. Put him to the test every time. You know, God, if you really love me, I saw this car that I wanted. It was really nice. It's beautiful. If you love me, you'll let me get that car. So you say, okay, here's how it goes, Lord. I'm going to go apply for the financing. If it doesn't pass, he said, then I'm not supposed to get the car. So you go and you apply for the financing. They turn you down. You go, well, Lord, I'm going to try another place. Yeah. What is wrong with us? What is wrong? You know, you make a deal with God and you break it right away. Exactly the same thing happens in our lives today. And here, finally, Elijah says, and I like it, it says that it came to pass that Elijah, you know, they're over there, they're trying to get their God worked up, you know. I don't, you know, Baal. You can call him Baal. I call him Satan. You can call him whatever you wish. You know, Satan is and does have a lot of power. But only when God allows him to do it. Yeah, I don't want to serve somebody that he has to get power from somebody, approval from somebody else to do what he wants to do. Does that make sense to you? But yet, we're serving him. Sometimes we are. If you don't know the Lord here today, you've never accepted him, then you are serving somebody that has to get approval from God to talk to you. You see, I get direct approval because I serve a living God. Amen. I can talk to him anytime. People think I'm nuts sometimes. That's okay. I don't care. I really don't. And here he says, and Elijah came to pass that Elijah mocked him. He said they had got so upset, and they had the altar built there, you know, big huge altar, and they jumped up on the altar and they were cutting themselves with knives, bleeding everywhere, all over everything, and begging. And Elijah started mocking them, you know. Now remember, guys, 850-1, they're still there. 850-1. And Elijah says to them, he said, maybe you need to cry a little louder. Maybe his hearing aid's bad. Something's wrong. Talk to him. Maybe he's asleep. You got to talk louder to wake him up. 850-1, guy. You don't want to make him mad now, Elijah. Calm down. And he's screaming. You know, we read the scripture as if it were, you know, speaking. It's not speaking. He's screaming to the top of his lungs. God, a perfect accoutrement. He made the sound travel everywhere. They could hear everything. And Elijah says to them, you know, maybe he's on vacation. Your God on vacation? My God don't take vacations. He goes with me when I take a vacation. What about you? What's your God doing? He's screaming and crying at these people and challenge. You know something? That takes a lot of guts to say all this to 850 on one side, you're one on this side. They could run after you, you know what? But during this whole time, he's saying this. And Elijah said unto all the people, after this was all done, and they did this from morning to evening, and you know, I wondered why all the way to evening. I always wondered that, you know. As I read this and I've studied it over and over and over and over again, I always wondered, why wait all the way till evening? Their God had done nothing. Absolutely nothing. And listen to this. At the evening time, and it came to pass when midday was passed, and the prophets said unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, there was no voice, no one to hear them, no sounds coming, no flicker of fire, nothing. Is that the kind of God you're serving today? see any flickers of fire. Let me tell you something. I love Elijah because Elijah looked at them and not with screaming anymore. He looked at the people of God and he said, come over here. And he called them with gentleness. And he called them with love and he said, come over here. Let's repair the heart, the broken altars of the heart. See, God can do that. God can repair the broken altars of the heart. And they came over, and that wasn't enough. They came over, and they talked, you know, and he built the altar. And around that altar, and I don't know how far it was around the altar, but he dug a big trench around the altar. This is an improvement over the last altar over here. He made it nicer, I guess. I don't know. He dug the big trench around the altar, and it could have been 20 feet from around it and all the way around it. He dug this trench. You know, when God calls you, he calls you to do something specific. And I'm going to tell you something. He's calling people right here today to say, I want you to give it up to me here today. I want you. I don't want your car. I don't want your house. I don't want your wife. I want you. I want you. Listen to this, what he says here. It says, Elijah took and built the things and the stones of it, and he put the wood in order and cut the bullock into pieces and laid it up on the altar. He laid it there. No fire. You know, that was the deal. No fire under either one. This one's still raw, baking in the sun over here. Now his is out in the open. In the evening sacrifices, the sun goes down. It gets a little darker, doesn't it? Dawn. Think about, you know, evening as it's as the sun's almost down, twilight out. God always works his best right at the very end. And he waits to see if you're going to trust him all the way. You see, we don't trust God. I love where he said it was in the mailbox. I'm going to tell you something, that's wonderful. Because he waited all the way till he went out to the mailbox, putting the bills in, that there was mail in the mailbox, a check. See, God waits till the very end. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Listen to this now. And he said to, and he put the wood in order in his hand. He said, I want you to take 4 barrels of water. Now, everybody thinks it's those little water pots. Barrels don't look like that, do they? They're big. They're huge. 100 gallons, whatever. I don't know what it is. I have no idea. All I know is it would hold every drop of water that Israel had. Fill 4 barrels with water. God said, you have a checkbook here today. He says, and I'm building a church over here. He says, and I want you to dig deep into it. He says, and come up. I want 1/3 of everything you got. Everything. You say, whoa, that's serious business now. God's always serious. Always. Remember, they had exactly 3 days' supply of water left. You say, how do you believe that? I believe that because God set the stage. I didn't. He set the game. I didn't. He had 3 days' supply of water left, totally won, and he says, I want you to go back over and fill 4 barrels of water right here in a row. 4 barrels. I want you to think about this. Thousands of little Israelite men. The women hadn't come because they was 18 and older men running back over the top of that hill of that mountain, running back with their little, coming back with their little tin cups. Running! Pouring it in a barrel. And he filled four barrels with water. And Elijah looked at him and said, pour it out. Poured it all over the altar, all over the ground, filled up the trench. Set the barrels up again. He looked at them and he said, do it again. Now he's no longer asking for one third of what you have. He's asking for two thirds of what you have. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, I look at it like this, you know, you think about that and all those Jewish men jumping back up into their, with their running with their little tin cups and they're running over the hill and they run into the tent and their wife goes, what are you doing? I want to see God work one time in my life. I'm 69. I want to see him work one time in my life. I want to fill four barrels. That's what he would call to do. And if I'm one little drop short, God's going to not bless us. He's not going to bless us. You're getting a little carried away with this church thing, don't you think? Come to church on Sunday evening, or Wednesday. What is your problem? Now you want to go out to visitation. What is your problem? I want to see God work. What's your problem? What is your problem? Well, he told him the second time. He says, fill four barrels. They're running over thing. Now they're getting in fights with their wife and everything. They're running back over the hill. And ladies, I'm not picking on you. Please. They're running back over the hill with their little tin cups and they're pouring them in there. And they filled those four barrels again with water. Filled them to the brim. And Elijah looked at them. And I'm going to tell you something. You ever paid that much to see God work? Two-thirds of everything you have, your very life is at stake here. Because once you give all that water, you're done. You're dead. Two-thirds. And he says, pour it out. And they poured that water all over the altar again. And he set those barrels up again. And he looked at them and he said, do it again. What's going on? What's God expect of you? What's God expect of me? You see, one cup of water wouldn't last them anyways. They were going to die of thirst, and they knew it. But as I was listening to Dr. Jeremiah this morning, and he talked about the great white throne judgment, and God's going to judge us by our works because there is no faith in some of people at the great white throne judgment. You make it that far, you're gone. I can't help you. Nobody can help you. Jesus gave you all the opportunity in the world. Today, he's filled four barrels. That's eight of them. They have come again, and a third time they're filling four more. And it's all the water that Israel has. It's life or death. What is God asking of you? If you'll read this as Paul read it on, as you read this, and you get down to it, he emptied the other four barrels of water. He got down to it. He prayed 63 words. Adam, count them for yourself. 63 words he prayed. And after those 63 words, fire fell from heaven and literally destroyed the altar, the sacrifice, it was gone. But they gave it all. Why aren't we seeing God work that way in our lives today? Because somebody's holding back that cup of water. God's calling you to do something today in your life. I don't know what it is. I have no clue. He calls me to do something. He calls everybody else to do different things. I don't know what he's calling you, but I do know this. Somewhere, somebody's disobedient. Is it you? God is asking for 100%. The same God that sends fire can send rain, people. And he did. And they knew it. See, the altars of the heart need to be repaired. That's where this happens up here today. You need to come and get the altars repaired. You need to be serious about God and not... like the others, you know something? If you really believed that God was going to send fire, would you be jumping up on the altar and cutting yourself with knives? You don't believe such a thing, because if you believed it, I'm going to tell you something. If I think he's sending fire over there, I'm going over there. I'm not crazy. If you believe that God will work in your life, why aren't you there? Why not give it up? You know, God loves you enough to die for you. Isn't it time to say, here it is, Lord, 100%. This is it. It's all here. I'm offering up everything that I have to you. You see, God doesn't like strange fire. What he sends fire is for real, and it's not strange. And he'll change you around to where you won't even recognize you. Don't believe that? Ask my wife. She, you know, half the time she don't even recognize who I am. And it's not because of the beard either. Guys, it's because God has changed me. I was a mean person, and God changed me. I'm still evil. I'm weak. But God changed me. What's he doing to you? What's he calling you to do today? Because I'm going to tell you something. Today, he's calling for these altars, and he's saying, come and drop it here. Come and give that something that you're holding back in your life that you haven't given to God. Come and give it here. That's what he's calling. I'm going to close in prayer. And yes, the same God that sends fire can send rain. And the same God that sends burden on your heart come to these altars, the same God can fill all your desires. In fact, it may not be your desires, but it'll certainly be his. His desires for your life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today to share your word. Lord, we give sometimes a third, sometimes two-thirds, sometimes 80%. But God, that's not what you called us to do. You said, I want 100%. Because if he's got 100% of you, all that you have belongs to him anyways. Lord, would you touch our hearts today? Lord, I long to see revival in our church. I long to see fire from God fall today. Would you touch it with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.